Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we've got a security-themed episode for you as we do a deep dive on email account takeovers with Mark Balaguer, system engineer at Barracuda MSP. Now, when Mark was on the podcast last October, he touched a bit on the idea of email account takeover, and we thought that it was a great introduction, but that there was an opportunity to do a lot more around this loaded topic in the security sphere. So, in this episode of the podcast, we'll define exactly what email account takeover is. Yes, the name is fairly self-explanatory, but we'll get into what happens, how it happens, and why it's such a popular avenue of attack. We'll talk about why it's so hard to detect, and why it can remain unnoticed in a system for quite a long time. We'll take a look at some high-profile attacks over recent years, and of course, we will get into what you, as an MSP, can do to keep your customers protected. It's a great interview, so let's get right into it. My chat with Mark Balaguer. Mark, nice to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So when last we chatted, we talked a little bit about email protection in general terms. I wanted to go a little bit into the subject of email account takeover. It's been in the spotlight for the last couple of years, and we've seen it as both a dominant form of attack and a tough type of attack to protect against. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about what ATO is? Because it's a simple concept, it's all there in the name, but it's also fairly complex. And why is that the case that it can be such a challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, great question. I actually deal with this a lot from a lot of different people. It's a top concern these days. So basically, account takeover, ATO, is generally when someone gets control of an account who shouldn't have control of an account, or get access to an account that shouldn't have access to that account. And really, ATO is one of the toughest forms of attacks to prevent, because you're not only needing to protect against the ATO itself, but you're actually protecting against the other types of attack that can generate an account takeover. So ATO can be the result of a variety of different attacks. Some of the most common are going to be phishing, brute force attacks, credential stuffing, man in the middle, password spraying, social engineering, and session hijacking are probably the major ones. And we could talk all day about all those different types of attacks, but the important thing to understand there is that those can come from all different attack vectors or threat vectors. So, you know, some are done through email, some are done through, network attacks, but generally, they're trying to get control of that email account. And so they're finding different ways to go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. And so the real danger there is that, you know, they can exist in any email environment. And so they're really sophisticated, and they can stay unnoticed, even really to the most experienced security officials, because a lot of times the attackers are doing a really good job of covering their tracks. Actually, a recent analysis we did of account takeover attacks found that almost 30% of organizations had their Microsoft 365 accounts compromised by hackers in a single month. So more than 1.5 million malicious and spam emails were sent from those hacked 365 accounts just during that 30-day period. So really, really scary stuff there. Just a few, you know, high-profile cases of note. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have heard of them, but just to kind of highlight that, J.Crew had a large data breach in March of 2020. Basically had to inform its customers that they found out a year later, after it happened, that a third party had assessed some of their accounts. A huge one, Marriott, in March of 2020, mm-hmm. Marriott International had a data breach. It affected 5.2 million guests, so all those records, you know, potentially exposed or vulnerable. And then another one to note, Decathlon, the sports retailer, accidentally exposed more than 123 million employee records through an unsecured server. And so just a lot of ways that this can happen, and these accounts can be taken over. A lot of different threat vectors, like I mentioned, but just overall very, very dangerous and something you really want to pay attention to.
And it sounds so pernicious in that you describe it sort of sitting there in the email environment unnoticed, which suggests obviously a relatively long-term exposure. Is this the function of an issue with the way email security is handled in solutions today?
In some cases, I mean, the issue really lies in what email security layer most businesses employ. And so in a lot of cases, that's what we call a gateway protection. So a traditional mm-hmm. email gateway basically does a really good job of blocking malicious messages, spam, kind of the spray and pray phishing attacks, not really customized, malware, viruses, all those things that are kind of concrete, hey, this is a virus or this is a malicious link. And it's a foundational piece. You absolutely need to have that because there are so many of those types of attacks still out there just looking for vulnerabilities. The idea, though, is that if you think about this, your email environment, think about that as your house. So the gateway is the fence to your house. But if the intruder can get through that fence, you don't just want that to be the only layer of protection. You want to have, you know, locks on your doors and bars on your windows and stuff like that. So to protect against these attacks that can get right through that gateway defense, stuff like spear phishing or impersonation attempts, business email compromise, you really want to employ some kind of artificial intelligence engine and to make sure that these attacks are recognized because they're going to be very customized. And you also want to make sure you have visibility into domain fraud to make sure that they're coming from the email that's coming through is still coming from a legitimate source. And so that's another way to indicate that this could be a customized attack. So again, all about that inbox protection after they get through that gateway, you mm-hmm. need that extra layer of protection. So so those are probably the two major types of defenses you need. The other piece you want to take into consideration is end-user security awareness training. So that's also very important. If the attack can bypass those other mechanisms, the user is ultimately the final protection. So it could look legitimate. It could not have a malicious link that could be recognized by a gateway, but the user is going to be the final person that says, hey, am I going to act on this or should I call this person to confirm that this is actually, a money transfer that they requested or whatever that might be. Mm. So you want to make sure that user is trained. And then the last couple pieces I'll hit on, a lot of times they're overlooked. You want to be sure that you're configuring and appropriately enforcing DMARC. DMARC is a protocol, DMARC, if you're not familiar. But basically, what it's going to do is make sure that those emails are coming from sources that they say they are coming from, mm-hmm. That have been validated, and that they haven't been tampered with any way along that path. And so it works two ways. You want to make sure that you're protecting your environment from emails that aren't passing that check, so those aren't getting through because they could be malicious, spoofing attacks from an outside source. You also want to protect your own reputation by setting it up for your organization so that other attackers wouldn't be able to send mail on your behalf that is malicious and then tarnish your reputation. So it kind of goes both ways with DMARC there. And then the last piece, always, whenever you can, use multi-factor or two-factor authentication, something you have and something you know, to make sure that you can kind of doubly secure that environment.
All right. So it sounds like along the lines of what we discussed last time, the one of the best ways to protect oneself in this case against email account takeover is to have both at the MSP level and at the customer level a multi-layer email security strategy and not just kind of be relying on one point.
Yeah, absolutely. The cyber criminals are evolving. And so, as a business, you need to employ a security that can evolve with that and provide that kind of protection. So, yes, the multi-layered approach is always going to be very important. Like I said before, that security awareness training, improving the awareness of your employees, make sure they're educated about these new types of attacks as they are released. It's going to help make those new spear phishing attacks less successful. Just to talk a little bit more about the spear phishing attacks. So, they're using potentially a fake or forged email address to send the attack email. But there's another type of spear phishing attack, and that results from lateral phishing. And that's when one account has been compromised, and then they're trying to move laterally inside the organization. So those emails will look like they're coming from a colleague. So mm-hmm. as a result, if you're just training users to check the sender properties on an email, hey, is this a fake, header or spoofed? That's not necessarily going to be effective against those. So, that additional training is going to be helpful to make sure that users can, still, validate with the person who sent that. And then other things like, checking not just the URL, what it says, but actually check where that link is going to identify, hey, this came from someone inside my organization, but that's a link to a site that looks malicious. So it's important that they understand, all these, kind of nuances about emails and how things can be hidden and not just, see the text of the URL and assume that that's where that attack is going. a couple other pieces. The first one, advanced detection techniques. So we talked a little bit about it before, but the spear phishing represents a sophisticated evolution in the idea of an email attack. And because they're coming from a legitimate email account, they're really difficult for even, trained users to detect. So I talked about this a little bit before, but the organizations really want to invest in that artificial intelligence to make sure that machine learning can take over. We can identify any anomalies, and then we can make sure that suspicious email gets put into a blocked folder or notify the IT security in the organization. So making sure that you're not totally relying on users to identify them on their own. And then we just hit on it, two-factor authentication or multi-factor mm-hmm. authentication, making sure that you have something else. So is it an app on your phone? The best case, it's a hardware token, just to make sure that even if that actual password gets compromised, the attacker still can't gain access because there's another thing that they don't have. They don't have your phone or they don't have your security fob to be able to actually gain access to it. And so really important to keep that secure with those multi-factor authentication tools.
All right, brilliant. Some great food for thought there, and great knowledge on the front of email account takeover. Mark, thanks once again for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate everyone joining.
There you have it, a deep dive on email account takeover with Barracuda MSP's Mark Balaguer. I'd like to thank Mark for his expertise in this interview, thank Barracuda for their continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening today. The podcast will be back tomorrow as we finish out the week with the New Year's podcast series and take a look back 2020 and a look in the crystal ball for the year to come with Laurie Kornmesser and Sandy Janes, the top channel executives at Infoblox. We'd, of course, invite you to subscribe to the channelbuzz.ca podcast on either Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. And if you'd be so kind as to consider leaving us a rating and a brief review, we always do appreciate that feedback. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for channelbuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.